Book of Romans. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth, and it is in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they believe? How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
I didn't get home till about close to 11 o'clock last night and was up at 4 this morning, so if I seem like I'm not quite here, it could be true. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your spirit that gives us life. And we also thank you, Lord, that you are a extravagant, generous God. And in that extravagance and in that generosity, you desire your kingdom to grow. I pray you would encourage our hearts today and that you would kind of get us up out of our seat, Lord, and that we'd be able to join you in your mission on this earth. So we just give you thanks and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord certainly has a sense of humor, because the title of my message today is Beautiful Feet. And those two words are an absolute oxymoron to me. Those two words do not go together. Beautiful feet. Now, when you ask women, a lot of women, what their favorite thing and extravagance in life is, it's shopping trips to the shoe store. They can't resist the beauty of those shoes. Many of them that cost big bucks, that set in a box, on a shelf, that they possess and never wear. But if you ask me, not what my favorite shopping is, what my worst thing is about shopping is, you don't even have to ask that. It's the worst thing that I don't like to do is shop for shoes. I hate to shop for shoes. I have always hated it. I have a family condition called flat feet. My father had it, and it actually got him out of World War II. So it's a family thing. I never could wear those spiky heels that so many of the women my age have deformed feet, because they've been in those shoes that have been ultra peaky and can't hardly walk today because they've worn those beautiful shoes. Well, 2 weeks ago I missed church because of my feet. I'd been wearing loose old sandals all summer long and suddenly I couldn't walk. It took a week of wearing my old ugly support shoes to bring me back to walking condition. Today, after the service, I will change back into those ugly shoes and make sure that I can make it to church next Sunday. So you see why it's kind of God's sense of humor that he'd have me speak on beautiful feet. The thought of beautiful feet in the natural just isn't possible for me. But see, that's not the way God sees feet. And I'm afraid that there are many things that God is in the process of setting me straight on. And I think it's probably going to go on as long as I live. Romans is a letter that is written to people who had known one way to God, the law. But we know that it was only a way to teach them. It was a way to show people like you and me that on their own, they could never do it. They could never, ever possibly please God by the works of their own flesh. So faith has always been the way. But how does this faith come about? The Bible tells us that at just the right time, Christ came to bring the solution. His life, his death, his resurrection. He satisfied the heart of God the Father by his obedience and by his death on the cross. And you know what? This was not because God was a bloodthirsty God who wanted to see his beloved Son suffer and die. No, it wasn't that at all. It was because there was a work to be done. It was because there was a battle to be fought. And it was because there was an enemy to be overcome. And you and me and the rest of humanity could never, ever, ever have been able to accomplish that. Only God himself could do it. Paul says, you know, can we go up to heaven and bring Christ down? Of course not. Can we go to hell and rescue him and help him out? No, we can't do that either. So the question is still today, then how is it done? And I'm here to tell you that it's very simple. Just believe that that's what Jesus did. Confess it as your own, and you are saved. Paul says it this way, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in me will not be disappointed. There is no distinction between Greek or Jew, or any of us. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all, who has called on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is good news. Don't you think? You know, what we couldn't do, Christ came and did. He fought a battle that we could never win. He overcame an enemy that we could never conquer. And he came to do it every bit for us. And you know, it is so much bigger than that. He came to reconcile us to the Father who loved us. He came to reconcile us to one another. He came to tear down the barrier of sin that stood between us and everything our heart dreamed of. He came to tear it down. He came to take us out of our isolation, out of our despair, out of our loneliness. And all we have to do is believe. And you know what? He has given us the great joy and the great privilege of getting in on the work. He's given that to us. We get to see others restored to the Father. And you know what? We get to experience some of the party and some of the rejoicing that goes on in heaven every time a single person is restored to the family of God. There is a celebration in heaven that would make this building shake. There is joy with the angels and joy with the Father. And I can just see them dancing. And He allows us to be part of that. That grand party, that grand celebration, the great celebration, each time a sinner repents and turns to God. There is a joy that is like no other, because it is the same joy that enters into the heart of the Father when He looks around out the door and sees one of His lost children heading home. And guess what? They've got a hold of our hand. We are bringing them home. We are sharing our life with them. And I can tell you from personal experience, that is a joy that can only be duplicated one place in a heart. And that one place is when you see a child born into the world. There is the awe and the beauty and the mystery and the joy of the anticipation of what that baby will become and who God's designed that baby to be. And every time we take hold of the hand of someone who is lost, someone who has been eating with the pigs, someone who has been squandering their life, they've been killing themselves day by day. And they're heading home. Gently being guided through the darkness of their confusion by a friend to be befriended of God. Good news. It's such good news. It is a responsibility, and I think when we think about sharing our faith with people, it is kind of with a dread because, you know, there's a lot of risk in that. And yet, you know, we feel kind of like, well, it's my responsibility, it's my duty, this is what the Bible tells, you know, He commands us to share with one another. If we could only grab hold of the privilege it is, we get to be in part of what God is doing. We get to join in that magnificent mystery that none of us will ever understand, which is salvation. And it delights our heart when that happens. So the part we play is sharing what we have learned and heard and experienced. I know that when Christ came into my life, I changed. I had tried for years to change myself. I had given up so many times that I'll tell you, I really couldn't count them. But God captured my heart. And my mouth could not shut up. I had to tell. I had to tell everybody I knew. I had to tell those who wanted to hear, and I also told those who didn't want to hear. I was pretty obnoxious. I had to tell. I had to tell them there is love. This is about love. This is about a triune God who loves us so much that he gave everything that he had to bring us back, to restore us, that we can be the children of God. I had to tell them. I found it. I want to share it with you. And I had to tell them that there is forgiveness. Do you know how many people in the world don't really know that they can be forgiven? And not only that they can be forgiven, they can be cleansed and released and new. And they can start a new chapter in their life that will bring great joy. And the past is gone. We no longer look at the things that are behind us. because they're covered with the blood of Jesus, we look forward into the magnificent thing that God is going to make of your life. Professor of ours, I can't remember who it was, you say, God don't make no junk. Everyone has value. Everyone has a call. And to tell someone who feels desperately alone in the world, you are not alone. God has befriended you and loved you. And the more I believed what I was saying, the louder I shouted it, the more I told it. People were brought to my door seeking how they could be saved. I still don't understand that. But I was quick to tell them. Wherever I went, whether it was a squatter's village in the Philippines or to the walls of China or to the girl that was on the plane next to me, I had to tell. Period. I could not quit. There is a love that's so deep and so pure. There is a place of community and fellowship so sweet. And there is a hope and a future so sure that we can all lay all our hopes and dreams and all our desires on it, and it will be proven true. There is a circle of fellowship that is waiting for each one. But how will they know? How will they ever hear? If you don't tell them. If I don't tell them. It's too good a news to keep to ourselves. And even if I hated my feet, and I did, God saw them as beautiful. Because wherever these feet went, I carried the love and the message of hope to those that were lost and hopeless. And I have a question for you. Do you think this might have had something to do with the last act that Jesus did with his disciples? Remember, he washed their feet. Now, he was doing something very symbolic as he demonstrated servanthood and actually showed them what being a leader was, to be a servant. But I think it was even more significant than it seemed. He was preparing them, cleansing them, to go to tell the good news of what they were about to witness. Now, at that time, it didn't seem like such good news. But later they realized that it was the perfect will of God working perfectly in the people that he had chosen to share this. And it's the perfect will of God that wants to work it in all of us. There is one of the things that we at Trinity Vineyard are committed to. We want to see people prepared to share the gospel. Everyone has a call on your life, and everyone is called to share the good news. If you have good news, you are called to share it. I was doing it long before I was a pastor. I was doing it while I was a housewife raising 5 children. I was doing it right where I was when I was, and it didn't matter who it was. I was doing it. And do you realize that God has brought many people here to Trinity that have pastoral calls on their life? Many who sit with you each Sunday have spent years, much dedication, and much money fulfilling the call of study and actually going through the process of being prepared to share the message. Many are called to preach and teach. And how will they ever be able to do that if we don't allow the Spirit of God to raise them up in our midst? We've heard many different people speak over the last Sundays. It's been very different. But all of these people, that have spoken in front of you have studied. They've shown themselves approved. And if we as a body can't allow them to be up here in front and share what God is doing in their life and be trained in this to go out and into the world, then we are missing it. Lost my place here. You know, they want to bring the good news, too, that God has created us all for a purpose, to give great joy, and that you will never be alone again. So we want to be a fellowship that is one that prepares and sends people to the end of the earth to do what God's called them to do. We have some that are in South America, Africa, and going to Mexico, and here in the Fox Valley. And we want to bless one another, and we want to give one another grace as we're all being raised up into ministry. Many of the people here won't stay here, and that's a good thing, because they'll be called out of here to go do what they've learned to do and practice doing right here, and the kingdom of God will grow. And the love of God will spread. There are lots of lost people. How many of you know a few? How many of you know a few that are in darkness and bumbling around and not able to get a grip on life? But there's another thing that I really want to share with you today. I've got to flip along here. And it's on a personal level. There is a song that I love, and I believe it's a Keith Green song, but I didn't look it up. I don't know for sure. But the words are, what's to be done with an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. And that is how I have felt for several years. My heart has grown old, and I sure did need to have it softened up. I had actually forgotten the good news. I had become complacent, and I had lost my zeal and my love and my joy of sharing the good news. Oh, I've continued to preach and teach and exhort others, but I've become cold in my passion, my zeal for the lost, for those who are hurting. I begin to realize my testimony is all past tense. And it was a terrible taste in my mouth. I don't want it to be the way it used to be. I want it to be the way it is now. I want it to be now. A now message. A now sharing. But quite frankly, I didn't know what to do about it. Just because you're up here occasionally doesn't mean you have it any more together than anybody else. I didn't know what to do about it. Oh, I prayed. I did all the things that you're supposed to do. But nothing seemed to work. But, you know, God knows where you live. He knows your address. He also knows your heart. And I have wanted out of this awful place now for several years and have been crying out to God. And you know, quite frankly, I wasn't sure he was listening. I really wasn't sure. For the past 2.5 days, 13 of us have been at a women's conference. Beautiful women from Trinity. Absolutely beautiful. It was a great time of fellowship and very hectic at times. It's like we couldn't even find one another sometimes. But it was encouraging to hear the speakers, and I am telling you, the worship was hot. It was so good. But God had my number, and he knew exactly where I was, and he knew right where he needed to hit me over the head. And I am telling you, I was ready to hang up my hat, quit, and leave. And that is a confession. I absolutely just didn't know what I was going to do with myself. So the first night they have some sort of thing, and all I could say was, I'm so double-minded, I don't know what I want, you know. And that began my journey over these 2.5 days. During ministry time, I went forward for prayer. Nobody prayed for me. Here are all these people going around praying for everybody. Here I stood, you know. Nobody came, and I'm standing here going, okay. But that was God's design, see. Because as I stood there, I kind of lost track of the fact that nobody was paying attention to me. And God began to speak to me. Lo and behold, after all these years, you know, God began to speak to me. So I went back to my seat and I wrote out 3 pages of what he said. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what God is telling me to do. He is so God. You know, I mean, you just never know how he's going to do things. So I began to be obedient in that moment. I said, okay, God, I see it. I see what I have done. I see where I am at. I see it. And I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to say a word to anybody. I am just going to do it. And so, man, I'm doing it. I'm just doing whatever God tells me to do. So I leave the session because God told me to. There was something I needed to do. Came back in, sat down, not realizing they were giving words. And I sat down, and I barely got in the seat, and they said, you, in the green shawl, we got a word for you. And I just walked back in the room. Me, you know, because I hadn't even been there. Well, let me tell you something. Everything that God had told me on those 3 pages of paper, God told me through those women who were looking me in the face. It was unbelievable. I mean, it was like a trip. I couldn't believe that God not only told me, but then he told me. And it was like, oh, this is big. I wouldn't have shared this with you this morning. I mean, God made a breakthrough, but I've never shared it. Except that's what God's doing. He's breaking this thing off of me. So today I want to move forward from where I had been. I want to return to where I was, but I also want it to be with the burning fury that I had for Jesus in the very beginning of my walk. For his mission, for full participation in it, in everything which he is giving me to do. And I want to have beautiful feet that share the good news of Christ. And I want to close this with today's scripture out of the Message, just a part of it, because it is so beautiful. The word that saves is right here. As near as your tongue and your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching, saying the welcoming word to God, Jesus is my Master. Embracing body and soul, God's work of doing in us what he is raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. And with your whole being, you embrace God setting things right, and then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right. Scripture reassures us, no one who trusts God with heart and soul will ever regret it. Everyone who cries, help God, gets help. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? How can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anybody going to tell them unless someone sends them? That's why Scripture exclaims, and this is the part I love, a sight to take your breath. Grand processions of people telling all of the good things about God. There may be some of you today that feel the way I've been feeling, old and cold and hungry. I can't promise today that God will break from you that thing, because it took years for him to break it for me, quite truthfully. But if you don't step out and you're not open, It's never going to happen. And there are some of you, I believe, today that have never really taken that step to say, what was it? Help, God. Jesus said, Jesus is my master. So we've got a church picnic going on, so there won't be coffee downstairs. I'm going to dismiss you all with a prayer. And then we are going to have a time of seeking God. Anyone who feels that they've gotten an old heart, anyone that feels like they haven't been able to say, Jesus is my master, the prayer ministers will be up here, and we are simply going to stand with you and wait on God. So I'm going to dismiss you with a prayer, and we ask that you would just kind of quietly, I really believe that God wants to touch some of you today with the oil of anointing and lift from you the crustiness that has happened through the years. Father, we thank you so much that you have done it all. And all we can do, Lord God, is present ourselves to you, that you would do it in us. I pray, Lord, for those who, Lord, are heading out today to this picnic, I pray that you give them great fellowship. I pray that you would bless all of those who are just going home, that you would ride in the car with them, Lord, and that you would touch their heart in just a beautiful way. And I pray, Lord God, that as we wait on you up here in front, that you would come and visit us. That you would come and meet us where we're at. So go forth in Jesus' name, knowing that you are loved. Take these beautiful feet out the door and be in that grand procession that brings others to Christ. Amen.